Så siger vi velkommen til Mohammed.
Hej.
Ja, du faldt jo ned fra en klatrevæg til kick-off med dit arbejde.
Ja, men alle kollegerne er simpelthen så sølv nu, og jeg får altid lov available først til teammødet.
Du er simpelthen faldet for bagværket.
Ja.
Dagens hjælper lidt præsenterer sig IF, som hjælper meget. Velkommen til IF Forsikring.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Det er tid til at gå bag om facaden. Yeah! Velkommen til Behind the Vinyl med Darren Edwards og Niklas Müller. My Rock.
Alrighty, we're back with another edition of Behind the Vinyl. This time we're doing TNT, which is a questionable whether it's actually a record or not for the rest of the world, from AC/DC, of course. I'm here with Niklas and none other than Joel from Airborne.
G'day, mate.
G'day. G'day,
g'day, g'day, Niklas. How are you, mate?
I'm good.
Big Daz. Here we are. Yeah, TNT, you know. I mean, it's an Aussie-only release, so it gets confusing, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Nick, have you ever seen it over here?
Well, yeah, I have. That's the funny thing, that when I started buying records, High Voltage being like the first European release.
Yeah.
And then I started going to record fairs like late 80s. And then you saw this album, TNT, with a totally different cover that you didn't recognize. And you saw the album High Voltage, which has another cover as well, the Australian version. And I had no idea what it was. And then later on you learn that those were the original albums. The one High Voltage that the Europeans and the Americans got was the Atlantic version, with a bit of different songs and stuff like that. And they were really expensive, getting the Australian version back.
Right.
And they're pretty expensive now as well. Actually, check Discogs.
Oh, I love Discogs. I'm on there. If you're, yeah, we're on there at the same time, bidding the same thing. Like, could you get the notification in the email? Or another one again?
No, I was just checking that. The album TNT, the Australian version, is around, like, it starts off at around 500 crowns, and then it goes upwards, depending on, you know,
what's that in,
that's like 50 American
bucks.
Dollars.
Yeah, oh, right. Is that really? Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah,
50
yeah.
American dollars. We pay 400 at home for a TNT. There's the blue kangaroo version, which is the...
Yeah, I mean, that's the one. You get different versions.
Yeah.
It starts off at 500 crowns, and it all depends which version.
Oh.
So it can, gotcha. You know, be a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, that's cool. Well,
yeah.
Discogs, do you ever do the drunken purchase where like you forget, so you're on there late at night, you're like, oh, I've got to get another copy of Highway to Hell or TNT, and then like 2 weeks later it shows up the mail, you check your bank balance, go, what, I spent $400 on? Oh. And then the blue kangaroo version, go, I'll put it with the other one.
Yeah. the putting it with the other one happens all the time.
Oh, talk about yeah.
That. So many
yeah,
records yeah. When we often go to a fair
yeah.
And suddenly we get it home and, oh, fuck, I've already got that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I do that, and then I'm like, damn it, like, and yeah. And then the one that you got at home is in better nick.
Oh, yep. Sure.
It's like the one that you got at the fair or whatever, it's like got yeah. Scratches on it, and you're like, oh, but still, and you go, oh, I've actually got it unwrapped, sealed, you know, original release, and you're like, yeah. Damn it, you know, yeah, that happens all the time.
If it's CDs, I usually call my wife.
Oh, good idea.
Can you go down, check F, and find
you're
whatever
serious.
Band?
Yeah.
She does that.
Of course she does.
That's why you married him.
Exactly.
Right, that's why you married him.
He has no idea what it is, but yeah, you have.
It's funny. My fiance got sick of that so much that she actually made a what do you call it, where you've got everything listed, like an
Excel document.
Yeah, yeah, she made a document, a little miniature book thing. We have to update it now because she got sick of me doing the same thing. I bring up, can you go and check to see if I've got this? So she ended up making this book, and then she's like, did you bring your book with you? I go, no, I left it at home. No. So she's got to go check the book, and then, yeah. So, yeah, that's how you know you got a good one.
I love it, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I just read today that the oi thing, mm-hmm. that was something Angus, he was just sitting singing it to himself in the studio, I think.
Oh, really?
And then the producer said, you know, shit, we'll keep that and we'll record it.
Yeah, oh, I think cool. George, right? George.
Yeah, I think it was John, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I never knew that. That's great.
You learn stuff every time.
You
every
do. Yeah.
He was doing it under his breath, supposedly.
Exactly, yeah.
And George picked up and said, hey, let's do that.
That's awesome.
And they ran with it. So
wow.
So when did you first discover AC/DC?
When I was a kid. The first thing I discovered was there was a channel at home called Rage. It was a TV show, and it was...
yeah, dude. You've talked about that one.
It would start at 12 o'clock at night or something like that, and just go through till 6 in the morning.
6 in the morning.
And every Friday and every Saturday.
Yeah, every Friday and Saturday.
Between 12 and 6 as a kid.
That would be me. I would be known to go to bed and then, you know, look around, lines up, sneak back outside.
And they always used to play the rock and roll stuff. I remember that would sort of come on around, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 a.m. or something like that, and they start playing things like from Poison and Warrant and stuff like that, and then Thunderstruck came on. It was Razor's Edge. And then, so I remember seeing Thunderstruck for the first time, and I wanted to be the drummer. I used to get the pots and pans out, play drums and stuff like that. But anyway, that was the first time I discovered AC/DC, and I had no idea. There's no internet, I'm just a kid, there's no bigger brother to talk to, so I thought, I didn't know there was another singer in the band. I didn't know there was a whole career. I didn't know what a career or a discography was. I thought, there's just these guys that play this one song. And then I got a cassette for my birthday, and then there was all these other songs, but it sounded like them, and I was working it out, and then eventually I figured out that there was Bon Scott, and then my uncle had TNT on vinyl, and then I got it off him, and then I heard it for the first time, and I still remember this day. We would go to family barbecues or go to school. I had it on a cassette, and I would just ignore everybody. I had no friends, but I did have TNT, and it was great. Yeah. In the headphones. Yeah. But yeah.
That's so good. That's so good.
Bye.
Det her er Behind the Vinyl på My Rock.
To try. Her deuce was wild, but my ace was high. But how was I to know that she'd been dealt with before? Said she'd never had a full house, but I should have known from the tattoo on her left leg and the garter on her right. She'd have poker straight was a game. If she knew she could get ya, she played 'em fast and she played 'em hard. She could close her eyes and feel every card.
that's another thing that, like you mentioned, the Angels, Roaster 2 and all that. I mean, I think Roaster 2 I kind of found out about soon after AZDs. You read about them, and you, I think you, I read about them in Kerrang! Magazine and stuff like that. But they were never big over here. Same goes with the Angels. That came way later. You read about them. Took a while until I realized they were an Australian band.
Wow. The Angels were a special band. The Angels were one of the big ones for me.
Yeah.
Like AC/DC, the Angels, then moving on. With
the Saints, aren't those Australian?
Yeah, the Saints, they are, but that wasn't really me. I was Angels, AC/DC, Tats, Screaming Jets.
Screaming Jets, you know,
stuff like that. The Saints were a little bit different.
Yeah.
They were more that surfy punk, Radio Birdman.
Different sound.
Radio Birdman, love that stuff.
Different movement.
Yeah, it was kind of a different thing, but the Angels were really, for me, a very important band.
Very important,
And a lot more live, just a lot more... They're nothing like the Ramones in the way they sound, but they're similar to the Ramones in regards to the Ramones are very bubblegummy when you hear them on record, but live they're just brutally hard so street tough, and that's what the Angels were, the Brewster Brothers, so
formidable force,
absolutely.
So
the whole brother thing is pretty interesting, man. You got the Brewster Brothers from the Angels.
Yep.
You got
the Pharisee Brothers in INXS.
Absolutely. The Young Brothers in AC/DC.
Yeah.
And of course, myself and Ryan.
Yeah. It's a brothers thing, you know. It's weird. Like brothers in bands is a good thing, and of course you got the Gallagher Brothers, and that's
the Gallagher Brothers.
You know, they're entertaining, and they're still entertaining now. You still see a tweet that comes out from Liam.
Yes.
You know, Noel just like, come on, mate. You know.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody puts them back together, though, can you imagine like how big that would be?
Well, there was that thing that happened at Reading like last week or the week before.
Oh, what happened there?
Well, Dave Grohl said.
Oh,
Dave Grohl said from stage, you know, let's all get together and make a petition and get Oasis back. And what did...
Noel Gallagher wanted Foo Fighters to break up.
Wanted Foo Fighters to break up and said that he can suck his dick. Noel was pretty straight to the point.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. You got to appreciate their, you know, their honesty.
But did you know from the get-go, like when you and Ryan started playing, did you know from the get-go that... Like was there that chemistry and that
I still remember we played a battle of bands in Warrnambool, our hometown, and went out in the crowd and did a guitar solo on the table because we were like, you know, want to get out and play a guitar solo on the table and give them a big show. It was like our first time playing anywhere. And then after the gig, the dude who ran the event took us out the back and he was trying to, like, he's getting real physical because we were just kids. He's like, how dare you jeopardize the safety of my event and how dare you do this? And then both Ryan and I, like, looked at each other and then we just fucking wetted the guy like dogs and went, fuck you, you wouldn't know rock and roll if it smacked you in the face. Like, and then we're like, you know, got the big thing and there's people coming, whoa, guys, like, calm down. And like, no, fuck him. And it's like, it's like, you know, and then I don't know if he had a word to them or I don't know, whatever, but they didn't, we were voted the worst band and like, that was like 0000. And then we're like, we played another battle of bands and then we won it. And that was, it was in Geelong, just down the road. So that was kind of cool to do that too, but it was we played a cover of a Creedence Clearwater Revival song. Funnily enough, that we're talking about TNT because Livewire, we played what's the song? It's called what's it? How's it go? It goes going down. Oh fuck! I have to forget it.
Right.
Mind blank. But it's rolling, keep it rolling, rolling, rolling.
Proud Mary.
Proud Mary.
Yeah.
We played Proud Mary, and but we did it in the style of Livewire. We used the chords from Livewire and played that, except for the main riff and the chorus.
Right.
But because I noticed the chords in the verses were the same. Da 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 da. Rolling, you know, the keep it rolling thing. But then so we played that and we won the Battle of Bands with the cover. So in the style of Livewire.
Leo Vegas her. Hos os kan du altid slippe din indre løve fri og få mere spænding i hverdagen. Leo Vegas Sport & Casino. Spænding her og nu. 18 plus. Spil ansvarligt.
Jeg er pædagog, og jeg er medlem i Det Faglige Hus.
Jeg er mekaniker, og jeg er også medlem i Det Faglige Hus.
Jeg arbejder i butik, og jeg er også medlem.
Over 245.000 medlemmer. Forskellige job, samme behov. Tryghed, når det gælder. Det Faglige Hus. Danmarks største og billigste fagforening med A-kasse for alle.
Behind the Vinyl. My Rock.
Is there a different drummer in Livewire? Because that's the third track. Oh, and then this one, High Voltage, right?
Yeah. High Voltage. There's obviously. So let's touch on High Voltage. The fucking chords are AC/DC.
Exactly. They are. The chords in High Voltage are AC/DC.
Yeah, unbelievable. Which is so cool. Such an amazing song.
Yeah, and I guess their first single, there was High Voltage, another album unreleased overseas in its form of High Voltage, but it wasn't on that record.
No, it wasn't on that record.
No.
And High Voltage was, I think High Voltage was inspired by the success of the record, High Voltage. That's why Angus sat down and wrote this. And he literally thought, I wonder what happens if I play the chords, AC and DC.
Right.
And
that's great.
The end result was High Voltage. But, and you'll know this, like, being a musician yourself, and looking at this quality of this record, man.
It's underrated. It really is.
It's unbelievable. This, you know, the track listing is just faultless, you know?
It is.
Really faultless. The weakest song is the cover song. You know, School Days.
Yeah.
A Chuck Berry song is by far the weakest song.
Yeah, and it's like, it really is just a hit fest. Like, and you can even look at this, if you look at their track list they were playing, you know, when they first went over to the US, a lot of these songs are there. The Jacks are there, Livewire's there, TNT's obviously there. I mean, I don't know how long they kept doing this long way to the top of the bagpipes, but you can, there's versions of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you heard the story about that?
No, tell me.
Well, I think it was George had the idea of using the bagpipes.
Yes.
And so he mentioned it to Bon. And so Bon went and learned how to play. And
because he's Scottish, everyone just thought, whoever didn't know that story just thought, oh, he's Scottish, he can play the pipes.
He
probably attack us every night. And,
of course.
And then, he didn't even know, so he went to learn it.
Yeah, because he played in a band.
He played in Fremantle, right?
Exactly.
Was it Fremantle?
Yeah, but before that, he had played in like one of these school bands, so that was, I think, George or whatever, thought that he played the pipes.
But he actually played the
drums.
He
was a drummer, yeah.
Exactly. He was a drummer. Yeah. It was a fraternity?
Fraternity, exactly, right. And Fremantle, something like that, or whatever it is.
With a guy called Vince Lovegrove was in.
Oh yeah, that's correct.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes,
that's
yes,
correct.
Yes.
I didn't know he didn't used to know how to play them, but when I was in school, after I'd obviously discovered, you know, Bond in the band, I wanted to learn the bagpipes, so I actually went to learn it for six months.
Oh, really?
And I was no good at it, but someone also said, you know, if you want to be a singer, it's good for breathing.
Right, okay.
So then, because you've got to hold your, you know, there's a certain breathing technique with it.
Yes.
And so I learned it for a bit, and then I just kept going back to my guitar and stopped doing it, but I love the sound of the pipes. Whenever I hear someone playing Scotland the Brave like that,
yeah.
And when there's like, you know, the pipe army that comes down the street, I'm straight to the thing, like fucking pumping my fist in the air. It's great.
And so the story goes that he used to play it live, and then one day he put it like on the side of the stage, and then some fans kind of got to it and
trashed it.
Trashed it.
Oh no!
Yeah. And since then he didn't pick it up. Since then it was just an extended guitar solo from Angus.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wrong.
Yes. Gaps. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, it's a ripping sound though.
It's a fucking great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
The video.
Yeah, the video.
It was classic.
Shot in Melbourne. And we were chatting before. You were saying you were talking to the director recently.
Yeah, who did It's a Long Way to the Top.
And what was he saying about that? Like,
sorry?
What did he have to say about
it? We talked about the idea for it. And the thing was that he talked about it, like, that back then videos were mainly made for when a band couldn't go overseas and stuff like that, so it would send something to show. But it was also done for mainly for Countdown, the TV show in Australia. But the thing was that, and I didn't find out this until a couple years ago, that there's two versions. There's the one where they're on the truck going down the street, but then there's the other one that they shot the same day where they're standing at the square playing
in front
of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And also apparently there's a third version where they're just standing on a soundstage miming to the song.
Oh wow, there's a third version.
Yeah. But I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
So, you know, it's probably out there.
It's out there
on YouTube or something, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
No, but it was cool because it was like really back then it was, you know, it was pretty cheap and just a simple story to it. And he also, as I say, he did a Jailbreak video, which has a bit of a story to it.
Yep.
He talked about the fake blood and all that stuff. It was pretty funny.
That's cool.
And I think that in the Jailbreak video, they blow the doors so they can escape from jail. And something went wrong when they put too much
TNT.
Exactly. In it, so it exploded way more than it was supposed to do.
Well, you know the good thing about in the song "Dirty Deeds" off that record, with Jailbreak on it, where he says "High Voltage," and then he says TNT. He references two songs on the record before it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really cool thing to do. That.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a really cool thing, and it's probably a Bond thing too. Maybe not always referencing song, but he references his life.
Yeah, references his life.
Oh yeah.
Maiden do it with their covers. Like they always have if you look at the Somewhere in Time and these different covers and stuff like that. Yeah. There's references to other albums and like the cricket team or the football team hidden things. I love that stuff.
Can I sit next to you, girl? Klassikere under lup. Behind the vinyl på My Rock.
Also, I heard that, you know, Hanson, you know the Hanson brothers?
Hanson, yeah, yeah.
They used to play It's a Long Way to the Top live.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wowee. I bet that had a lot of balls to it.
For sure.
So, so Airborne is just coming out with a new album.
Yeah.
Shaker.
Yep.
You recorded it in Nashville. And similar to the likes of AC/DC and Rose Tattoo and the Angels and all that, it's really raw, really energetic, you know, fucking straight ahead rock and roll record. Mm-hmm. How did you go recording this? Obviously recorded it in Nashville.
Yeah, we're in Nashville.
With Dave Cobb.
He's pretty much, he's got to be basically the number one producer in the world, I think, right now. Like, he's on top of the whole country, and he's been there for a while. And, I mean, like, his way of doing things is you commit to something early on, so you don't even question it, and you go for the first, second, or third take. It seems to be that's where most of the magic is when you're working it out. And quite often we'd be in the middle of working something out and thinking that we've done a take. You know, we run through a take, a test take in our head, and he's recording the whole time. He says, like, you know, we got it. And we're like, how the hell have you got it? You know, you can't have it yet, you know. And then he would play it back to us, and then, you know, he's like, trust me, guys, have a listen. And we're like, oh, wow, it sounds like Albert's. It sounds like the way those records were made. Right. It sounds got the energy. Yeah. And so the whole time we were going to try and, you know, recapture that way of, you know, there's no distractions, no phones, no laptops, no digital shit, just a tape machine, a producer and a band.
Right.
And that's what we went for. And it was really great to just shut the studio doors, lock in, and get it all done, like, really quick. Normally we take 3 months, this took 4 to 5 weeks.
Wow, love it. And you went in with nothing?
We went in with nothing. We had a few song titles,
yep,
and, you know, a few lyric ideas, and then, you know, a few riffs, and then basically it was just the vibe of the day, you know, what would happen, you know, just play a bit of guitar here. And I was playing a riff one time, and he comes out and goes, I love that, we gotta do that. And then he jumps on the drums for a bit and has a jam, and then, like, you know, he just wants to, picks up Ryan sticks and goes, how the fuck does he play with these things? like baseball bats. And then, you know, Ryan comes out and starts playing. And that was a song off the record, Backseat Boogie,
which is great. Yep.
Yeah, so that's, and it was the, yeah, so like just little things like that. And we write a song around just him saying, I love that riff.
Love it.
You know, and stuff like that. We'd never done that before.
Yeah.
In the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that? It
great.
With inspiration.
Yeah. Full inspiration, and it did give us a bit of a boost in, like, saying, you know, the band can record a first or second take, and it doesn't sound too bad. I mean, there's mistakes on the record, but he also showed us how to not be perfectionist and overthink things. You would pull up an old Zeppelin recording and say, you see where the guitar or something here is a bit, you know, the timing's a bit off here or something like that, but it makes it cool. Like, technically they're not playing perfectly, but what they're doing is they're grooving.
Yeah.
And that's the shuffle in something, or the groove that makes you feel it. So we left all the mistakes and all the little things like that.
Love it. I love that. That's nice. Great.
Yeah.
That's so
special cool. These days.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everything's so,
yeah,
you know, so overproduced and
exactly. Yeah.
So pro tooled within, you know, just.
Yeah. Enough. We'll be right back.
Yeah, did he do A Star Is Born?
He did.
He produced it, right?
He put everyone together on that. Yeah, he did. He put everyone together to make that happen.
Exactly.
They had when they called him to do it, they knew, I guess, you know, he would know everybody because that's who he is. He's the center of the country universe.
Yeah.
So he put everyone to together to do it, and they wrote those songs in a really short amount of time. Like, you wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
And the whole thing with that film, his influence on that is so big.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if it's credited as much as what people would know, but really, he's all over that film.
Nice.
And great songs on it too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Great notes. Like, mega songs.
Great songs.
And we couldn't believe it, you know?
Never knew Bradley could sing.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Thought he was a pretty boy. That was it.
Now he's both.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he also, Dave Cobb also did the latest Europe record.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Which ended up winning a Grammy over here.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a sensational record.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded amazing.
Yeah. So yeah,
I've got it on vinyl, thanks to you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Very cool. The Jack. Let's talk a little bit about the Jack.
Yes. Supposedly. I think it took forever and ever before I realized what the Jack was.
What's
all
the Jack,
about.
Man?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I know it's about, but like, what is it? What's its term now?
No, back then I thought it was probably about a dude called Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Later on, you realize that it was about something totally different.
Dude, I thought a virgin was a half man, half lion. You know, until I had all my.
What, a virgin or a Virgo?
A virgin. A virgin. So there's.
Half man, half lion?
Yeah, there's Madonna singing like a virgin. I thought it was half man, half lion. Until my older brother pulled it up in front of all my mates and made me look like a fucking douche.
Oh, jeez.
You poor bugger. Half lion. Yeah. That's the best thing I've heard in a long time.
So,
oh, wow. That was a Jack. You kind of wonder as well if you could, you know. Because that was really Bon, I guess.
Very Bon.
With his lyrics and so on. If you could write something like this today.
Absolutely. In reference to Malcolm.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Who was apparently clean.
Yes.
He didn't have the clap.
He didn't have the clap.
I'm reading this book at the moment. It's called Bon, The Last Highway.
Oh, yes.
And in the book, I just was reading on the plane as I was flying into Stockholm last night, and I was up to the page where they were talking about a gig they were doing in the US.
Yeah.
And then Bon comes on stage, they play a few songs, and then the crowd's getting into it now, so he says, we're going to do the song called The Jack. And he goes, so what do you guys around here call gonorrhea? and they go, And then someone goes, we call it the clap. And so then when he was doing the Jack, instead of singing she's got the Jack, he'd go, she's got the... And he got the whole crowd to clap on when we'd say Jack. So it's like, she's got the clap, and then they clap. So that's pretty funny. She's got the clap.
Up in the morning after school, but the teacher is teaching the gold. Trying to forget just where you've been.
Joel has more shit to do, man.
Yeah, sorry, got more shit to do.
Back to the grindstone.
Yes, love it.
Thanks for your time, man.
No worries,
yeah.
Pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to end with The Rocker, which, as far as I know, like it's not available over here on Spotify or anything other than If You Want Blood.
Oh, okay, it might be.
I think If You Want Blood the live version is the only place you can get it, I think.
Okay, live, there's a live in Paris version you can get. Live version.
Right, yeah.
Unless it's on Vaults, which was a rare release.
Right, exactly. Right, yes.
Otherwise, it'll be on YouTube. Someone's uploaded it for sure.
Yeah, on YouTube, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe no one's ever reissued TNT either.
That's strange.
It's really strange. In this day and age, you know, AC/DC have sold over 200 million records. Yeah. You think someone's going to say, you know what, I'll reissue this and sell another million records of this? Because
that's another thing. Because with AC/DC, they've released the catalog remastered a couple of times.
Yes.
But there's never ever any bonus tracks or anything.
Yeah.
And then they had the vaults and they had the what's it called? The one that looked like
Family Jewels and then Family Jewels. Plug Me In.
Yeah. Plug Me In and the Backtracks.
Backtracks, yep.
With a couple of demos and stuff like that. But nothing else. So, it's AC/DC, Van Halen, they never, I don't know. Yeah. Should be a deluxe version of TNT.
Well, it might be the 50th anniversary of TNT in 2025. Maybe they're waiting on the big 50.
You never know.
Big 50.
Yeah.
You never know.
The artwork is pretty cool, you know. Have you ever seen one? Yeah. It's got the little the mug shots in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've seen it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. And a great record.
Yeah, everyone should go out and get it. Actually, don't. Let me go on Discogs and go get some more. And then you get it. The price of TNT and Discogs is going to skyrocket now. Like, what's his TNT business?
That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Joel, thanks for your time, man.
Yes, Nick. Pleasure. Thank you for having me. Anytime to talk about TNT, we'll come back and talk the next five tracks.
Congratulations on Bone Shaker.
Thank you, mate.
Amazing
cheers.
Record.
Great
everyone,
album.
Get out, buy it, stream it, listen to it.
Hell yeah.
Go check out you guys whenever you come through town.
Cheers.
Greatest live band on stage at the moment.
Thank you, mate.
You know. And we're going to end with The Rocker.
Sure.
The Rocker. Nicholas, we'll see you next week, man.
Absolutely.
I'll see you next week. Well, I won't be here, but I'll be here in spirit. Catch up.
Når man har vendt pladen og sidste nummer er spillet, så er Behind the Vinyl slut. Tough luck. Darren og Niklas er tilbage næste søndag kl. 16 med endnu et klassisk album.
Og indtil da kan du fange denne og alle de forrige episoder som podcast på radioplay.dk/myrock. Adios.